Praise. Glory to God. Let's open in prayer as we come around the Word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, who rose from the dead for us, and that now we are alive in him. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can do great works in God as he has given us the direction and has caused us to live. We praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're looking tonight at preparing for God's increase. And when I'm talking about preparing for God's increase, I'm talking about two main things tonight. One is the increase of the church, and we're talking about their spiritual increase. We're talking about increase in numbers of people, and we're talking about increase in the ability of the church to reach out to this city, which is filled with people that aren't born again, know nothing about the Lord, know nothing about the Spirit or anything about that. And the second thing that I'll talk about is also increase in our faith and in our life spiritually in particular. Let's have a look first of all at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll look at verses 5 to 9 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. Starting from verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So we see here that the Lord is the one who gives the increase. And that's where we're going to have the faith. We've got to have faith that God gives increase. It's no use us going along in our lives and thinking, well, God never is not working, or he's not doing anything in our lives, or he's not doing anything in this church. We've got to have faith that God is the one that gives the increase. Now, what's our part? What's our part? Well, you can see, for example, Paul and Apollos were ministers who obviously preached the word of God. The Bible talks about feeding the flock. So obviously they were people, and as it says there, ministers by whom ye believed. So that's one work which people were doing. And what did God, what was God able to do then? What was God able to use? He was able to use, as Paul says, I have planted. He was able to use that planting work. If we don't do anything, if we say, oh, well, whatever will be, then we're not going to be on in God's will, because he's going to be directing us to do various things for him. In fact, the Bible says that we've been created in Christ unto good works. So God expects us not to be lazy people or people sitting down and just expecting everything to drop onto us. He expects us to do his works. As he says there, Paul says in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered. So there's a watering to be done as well. There's a planting, there's watering, and it says, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. And that's where we've got to see that God is the one that supplies the increase. But he'll do it as we are labourers together with him. As it says in verse 9, for we are labourers together with God. And it says there, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. There's another scripture which talks about that Jesus said, I am building my church. But you see, the people of God are not people that are not doing anything. They're doing something. They have to have something. They have to have seed sowing and watering and so on for God to give the increase. We should be expecting a harvest. We should be expecting that there'll be a reaping of souls, for example, expecting a reaping of increase. If we don't expect that, then where's our faith going to be? Our faith must be placed in what God has said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we hear the word of God, faith comes up in us, and we can see here that God gives the increase. So it's not that we're exalting ourselves. Verse 7, as it says there, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. In fact, all of our abilities have been given to us by God. We're not exalting ourselves. We're exalting God. You see, if he hadn't given us any abilities, we couldn't get up and preach, or we couldn't teach, we couldn't even witness. But God has given us those abilities. He's given us opportunities. So we don't brag on ourselves. We glory in God. Okay? We look to God as the one that gives the increase. And so we must make sure that we are looking with the eyes of faith. And so when we're doing things in God, as he's leading us by the Spirit of God, as he's doing the leading, then we are the people that are responding to him, and we're believing that he's giving the increase. Look also at Luke 10, verses 1 and 2. Luke 10, verses 1 and 2. I believe that God wants this city to be converted to Christ, just as we've read in the book of Acts that the city of Samaria, the Bible says that they all turn to Christ. And is it impossible for God to cause a whole city to turn to Christ? I don't think it is impossible. In fact, my faith, particularly over the last couple of years, has certainly been increasing for us to be able to speak to the city. That means by faith I have to see beyond numbers. I have to see beyond what is, and see that what we're doing now, as he's directing us, will have a harvest in the future. If we don't see by faith a great harvest in the future, because the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight, then we're going to be people that will be continually at a particular level and will be kept back. But that's not the way God wants it. God wants many to come into the kingdom of God. Have a look at Luke 10, verses 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So you see, notice who was sent before him, the 70, the workers that he wanted to go and do things for him. And it says, into the every city and place whither he himself would come. So in preparation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 2 says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now there's a few things here. First of all, when it says the laborers are few, I believe there's many people who are just, even in Christian churches, just sitting back and certainly not using the full talents that the Lord has given them, the full abilities that the Lord has given them. There's many people just sitting back, and they could do a lot more, but they're not. They could do a lot of planting, they could do a lot more watering, but they're not. And so where we read before that we labour together with God, you see, God is always with us. He wants us to bring to him something that he can use. And, you know, you can look back at the parable of the talents, you can see that. And he wants us to say, Lord, I commit this to you. Use me for your glory. And so this is what he's talking about here. The labourers are few. There's not many that are putting their hand to the plough, so to speak. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. Now he's called the Lord of the harvest. Notice that? We saw before that he's the God that gives increase. He's called here the Lord of the harvest. So we should have faith in the Lord of the harvest, that there, and expect that there is to be a harvest. But what's the problem here? It's not that that there's no harvest or no possibility of harvest. It's not that at all. It's that the labourers are few and there's not enough people, or there hasn't been people. And certainly if you looked at Geelong itself, you'd think that there's been hardly any Christian influence in Geelong. You know, walk down the street of Geelong, there's hardly any Christian influence, it would seem. But this is not the way we're to look at it. We're to look at, Lord, use me. Lord, use me as an instrument. Use me as a labourer. And that's why it says there, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. And I believe that this is the preparation that God is wanting to do in this church and has been doing, particularly over the last few months and year, a couple of years. And I know there was a time in this church when I wasn't thinking in a much broader area in terms of the whole city. But now the Lord has really changed me around completely to start to think in the right way and to look as... God has given us things. God has given us people. God has given us the way to go. He's given us the Word of God to believe. He's given us the right tools and the right knowledge. And he's showing us a direction. And I believe the direction is that he wants to give increase. He wants people to go into the field and to bring in the harvest. But the labourers have to be ready. They have to be ready. And they have to be willing. The Bible says that God would show his power when the people of God are willing. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 11. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 11. In this section, we start to look at the increase personally in the people of God. And it's no use people staying at one level after they're born again. It's no use them staying at one level. And this is, of course, why the Lord has provided ministers in the church, so that they could feed the people of God and so that they can increase in faith and grow and so on. And it says that very clearly, that we should be growing or grow up, the Bible says, in Ephesians 4. But look at 2 Corinthians 9, and we're looking at verses 6 to 11 in 2 Corinthians 9. And so this addresses a few things here. We don't have a lot of time to go into all of it, but we'll go through a couple of areas in this. Starting from verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, is that talking about God doing the sowing? Or is it talking about us doing the sowing? Talking about us doing the sowing, isn't it? And it's talking about if you're going to hold back or sow sparingly, then the reaping, and if the reaping in your own life, and certainly if we held back in this church, there would also be a sparing reaping as well. So what we're doing is preparing for God's increase. We want to be people, and it needs to have a change in people's hearts and thinking here. We want to be people that sow bountifully, and look to also reap bountifully. Look at verse 7. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now, yes, that's talking about finances, but it's also talking about having a giving life in Christ. Give of your time, for example. Give of your abilities and talents. Give of what the Lord has already given you, but now you're giving it and you're sowing it into the kingdom of God. You're sowing it into the kingdom of God so that there can be a reaping in your life personally, and there can be a reaping also in the life of the church as well, in the kingdom of God. So, but notice what it says in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. There's got to be in your heart a purposing. You've got to say, I purpose in my heart. In other words, it's not a random thing, is it? It's something where you say, I have a purpose. I am purposing this in my heart. So let him give. And God doesn't want grudging giving. He doesn't want people say, oh, okay, I'll do that, but you're virtually twisting my arm to do it. God doesn't want that. In fact, if I asked you something to do in the church or for the church and you are grudging about it, I'd rather you not do it. Okay? I'd rather you not give anything into the offering for the same reason. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And so it's important for us, if we're to be preparing for God's increase, it's important for us that the preparation starts in our heart, isn't it? We've got a purpose in our heart. We've got to make sure that what we're doing is out of a love for God, a love for his people, a love for the kingdom of God, a love for the word of God, love for the things of God. And right away from a love of the world or a love of money or a love of power or things like that, and into what do you want, Lord? Where are you leading us? Where are you leading me? Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, notice that word always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Does God want us to do good works? Yes, he does. He wants you to abound to every good work. He wants you to have all sufficiency in all things. But you notice it started with the sowing. It started with the purposing in your heart to give of your time, to give of your money, to give of your things, to give of your talents, your abilities, and so on. It starts there, and then God is able to make it so that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And verse 9 says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So there's, God wants the increasing of the fruits of your righteousness. And there should be fruits of your righteousness. You're righteous in Christ. If you've been born again, you've been given the gift of righteousness, the Bible tells us. So God is wanting to look after you, as it says there, minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. God's wanting there to be increase in our lives personally and also in the church corporately. Very, very important for us to understand that he is the Lord of the harvest. He is the God that gives increase. And he is the one that is leading us, I believe, into a greater and greater position in him in terms of increase and reaping. Let's have a look at Matthew 16, verses 15 to 18. Matthew 16. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ made a few statements here in Matthew 16, verses 15 to 18. And he asked a question of his disciples here, starting from verse 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Okay, there were a lot of people saying various things about Jesus, some of them not saying good things, of course. There'll be a lot of people who say good things and bad things about you too. And particularly if you stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, don't expect that you're going to have good things said about you. Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, so there's a revelation, isn't it, that's come into Peter's heart. And we all need to have a revelation. I preached on Sunday about having a revelation of God's love and understanding not only just how much God has loved us, but how much we should also be reciprocating that love now. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he's not talking about building the rock upon, building the church upon Peter, like the Romanists would say, and that Peter is the first pope. It's got nothing to do with that. He's talking about the rock of Christ and the rock of that confession that he, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And so, and in fact, there's many scriptures that talk about building our foundation upon Christ, or building upon him as the foundation, building upon his word, and so on. So we can see here that Jesus has made a promise here. He's made a promise upon this rock, he's talking to about himself, I will build my church. I will build my church. Now, are you part of the body of Christ? You are. And if you've been born again, you're part of the body of Christ. And he is the head of the body. And the Bible talks about how all the members of the body work together. Okay? As he gives the directions. It's very important for us to see that because, as I said right at the beginning, we cannot afford to be lazy Christians. We cannot afford to be people that just sit back and think that it's just going to plop into our laps. We have to be people that are willing to give of the Lord, give of ourselves to the Lord, offer ourselves as labourers to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be a labourer together with you in the building of your church. And that's exactly what he wants if we're part of the body of Christ. So you can see here Jesus has made the promise, I will build my church. Now, do you think that hell or the devil or anything else is going to keep back Christ from having what he wants, which is his spotless church on the earth before he returns? No. You know, it may look as though societies our secular society, which leaves out God, has really got the upper hand and so on. But, see, this is where faith comes into it. You can't be looking at that. What you've got to be looking to is Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and say, Lord, you are the God of increase, and I am going to commit myself to be a labourer, to be a giver, to be a person that you can use in whatever way you want me to be, in whatever way you want to use me, I'm going to commit myself for that because I want that church, that spotless church, to be a great beacon, not only in this city, but in fact in this nation. The world desperately needs it. And we should not be hiding our lights or our candles under a bushel. Let's have a look at Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. Now, it's so very important in our life that we be people of faith. I've spoken extensively on this whole area about faith. The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God. It says that we walk by faith, we live by faith, we stand by faith, we pray and receive things by faith and so on. So we have to be people where our faith is increasing. We cannot afford to be someone that we've been born again and we're still at the same level, baby level, 10, 20, 30 years down the track, which is certainly the case, I believe, right across this city, that there are people that either fall away from the Lord or at a still quite a low level. Now, here we emphasise faith and Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. Notice what Jesus is saying. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. Increase our faith. So they saw that their faith had to be increased, didn't they? They saw that there were things, you know, they couldn't stay at one level. And we shouldn't be satisfied to stay at one level either. We should be looking for increase in our lives personally, an increase in the church here as well, and in this city, praise the Lord. Increase our faith. And verse 6 says, "And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Now, he's pointing out a couple of things here. He's comparing faith as a grain of mustard seed, comparing faith as a seed. But you see, you've got to use your faith. You've got to use your faith. If you never use your faith or just rely on someone else's faith, then it's never going to increase. What he's also pointing out here is that faith, through the Word of God, basing your faith on the Word of God, because that's certainly where biblical hope comes from. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, so not seen with your physical eyes. We walk by faith, not by sight. So obviously there has to be a building up of faith, but it has to be because the Word of God is coming in. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we cannot be faith people, nor can we increase in faith, unless we are increasing in the knowledge of the Word of God, in the knowledge of God's will, and operating according to the Word of God. In other words, if you know nothing about the Word of God, and if you don't invest time in the Word, then your faith is going to stay at a very low level or at a particular level. So we see that faith is something we have to plant, we have to use, and it will grow, and it will accomplish things as well. So we should be looking for, in our lives personally, for our faith to increase, to increase. Look at 2 Corinthians 10 verse 15. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 15. I believe that in this church God is doing wonderful things and is wanting people to increase more and more. And in fact, he's expecting that of his people. He's expecting his people to increase. He's expecting his church to be built. There's no doubt about that. And if you look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 15, it says, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labours, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." And notice what it says in verse 16, "to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand." If you look at what he's saying there, he's saying when your faith is increased, in other words, when the faith of the people is increased, then there will also be an enlarging for him to be able to preach the gospel, as he says there, in regions beyond you. So it's not, it's, you cannot say, well, only one person is going to evangelize the city of Geelong, for example. It's not just one person. It's going to be the body of Christ working together, and it's going to be as people's faith increases that the ministers of God are enlarged, emboldened, doors of utterance are opened, and as it says in verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. And so if you think about it, there is a lot that needs to be done in Geelong. There's a lot of wrong thinking, a lot of wrong teaching being pumped into people's minds and hearts, and I'm talking about in the world system at the moment, that is keeping people back. But even in the church, there's a lot of worldliness which is also keeping people back. Why? Because if you're not people of the Word of God, then you cannot increase in your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. So when we're talking about their faith being increased, and here I pray that every one of us, our faith would be increased, so that we, that is the ministers of God, can also be enlarged, and so that we can also preach in the regions about us, beyond just here. Okay, so, and that's one of the reasons why the Lord has instructed me to hold permanently in this church outreaches. And so we hold permanently, which we never did, but now we do, outreaches are permanent in this church. And eventually, my vision, and I pray it be your vision, is that we outreach to the whole of the city of Geelong, and that the Lord will have the finances and funding for that to happen. Praise the Lord. I believe that you have to start. You have to start with a seed. You have to start with a vision. You have to start with something so that the Lord can use that and build on that. And I base that on this next scripture I'm going to show you in 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. And we're going to finish with this one. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58. You know, what you don't want are the ministers of God being defeatist and saying, oh, we're never going to get anywhere. Oh, it's always going to be like that. Now, what you want is for them to have a vision, for us to have a goal, for us to understand that the Lord is the God that gives increase, that he is the Lord of the harvest, and that he wants us to put our hand to the plough and not to be people that are just sitting back or being lazy or anything like that. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory. No devil's going to keep us back. No man is going to keep us back. No sin is going to keep us back. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58 says, therefore, why is that word therefore there? It's because on the basis of the victory that you have in our Lord, in your Lord Jesus Christ, on the basis of that victory, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't let anyone here say that they can't do the work of the Lord. God's given you something to do. What you need to do is find out, Lord, what have you given me to do? What do you want me to do? So no one in the body of Christ should say, I can't do anything for God. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. So our labour, and I put this into my mouth constantly now, my labour is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, it's not going to amount to nothing. It's not going to amount to nothing. It's going to amount to something because God is the God of increase. Praise the Lord. So what we've looked at tonight is we've seen that we need to be people that are prepared for God's increase. Why? Because it's his will. It's his will for increase. He wants our faith to be increased. He wants us to have all sufficiency in all things that we may abound to every good work. He wants us to look to him as the Lord of the harvest, to look to him as the Lord that gives the increase. He wants us to be people that do labour in him so that we can say, my labour is not in vain in the Lord. So if we never witness to anyone else, if we never give of our time, effort, money and so on into the kingdom of God, then what has the Lord got to use? He's got nothing to use in your life. But he's instructing us, I want you to be people that put your hand to the plough, that see that there is a task ahead. There is something that I want you to do, and I want to increase my church. I want, and as the book of Acts says, the word of God increased. Okay? And I believe that this has to happen in Geelong. This has to happen in Geelong. There's been a lot of seed sown in Geelong. But there's been not much reaping or harvesting that has happened. And so now what we see at the moment is many people that have become apathetic and even worldly, even in the churches. We are going to be people that are the reverse of that. The word people, we're going to be word people, people increasing faith. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of the harvest. We thank you that Jesus is building the church. And we thank you, Lord, that you give the increase, and we have faith in that, Lord, that you are the one that gives the increase. And Father, we commit ourselves. We commit ourselves afresh tonight to be people that will give you something to use, that will commit ourselves to give into your kingdom. Not just finances, but our effort, our time, our hearts, every part of us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you speak to every one of us, even tonight and through this coming week, that we be people that would respond to your call, respond to what you have to give, what you want to give in this city, in this church, in our lives individually. And I thank you, Lord, for the people here. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And I praise you that all things are working together for our good, that you're increasing us by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. God has good things for us. God has good things. Praise God. Well, let's have a chorus.